Rockin' 'em and sock 'em, rack 'em and stack 'em. That's what we do, right, brother?
Racking and stacking, rocking and sock 'em. I love it all.
Wasn't that the little robot things that kind of punch each other?
Literally just took me back to my childhood there, Randy. Yeah, the old red and blue rock 'em, sock 'em robots.
Yep. Yeah. I just had a toy Tonka truck. That's all I had.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of those toys. You know, I couldn't get my big body on a big wheel. So, I missed out on a few of those things. But I could do the rock'em sock'em.
That was always fun. I remember those. But the only problem I had is I was an only child, so it was a little challenging.
Yeah, you got to learn how to operate both.
Of them. Well, hey, here we are again, loving what we do and doing what we love, man.
Yes, indeed. And we have a first timer today, which is awesome. You know, we never know if they're going to be good or if they're going to be bad, if we're going to have them back because they're too bad, or if we're going to have them back because they're completely awesome. So we get to find out which one Stacy is today.
The pressure's on her. She's in the green room eating grapes. We're cheap. We don't offer grapes, but actually it's the turquoise room. That's how cheap we are. But anyway, she's in the green room so she's probably listening to us talk about this. So don't worry, Stacy, we'll be gentle. But she's a highly trained professional, and we're going to have a great, great, great chat with her. So, I don't know. Let's go talk to her. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, there we are. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Could not be better.
So glad. I heard y'all talking about me. I have a new goal to be invited not once, not twice, but three times on this show now.
Okay. Well,
that's
a lofty goal, and I like goals.
Yes.
We have a record you could work towards. That's a lofty one.
What is that?
That's Ben Gay III, our good buddy and pal. You probably know Ben, the Closer Series author. Mm-hmm. He's been on 7 times.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And the thing is, I tell him every time, I said, Ben, you've talked in crowds of 20,000 people. You've wrote more books than the whole universe. You got to quit screwing up. Yeah. We keep inviting you back.
Then you can get it right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get it right one of these days. I mean, holy geez. I said, 10's the limit. But
it's nice of you to give him so many chances to prove.
Well, we're nice people. Yeah. What can I say? Yeah. Wes especially. I'm not that nice, but Wes keeps saying, let's invite him back. It's fine. Whatever. But welcome from the great state of Texas, right? In Houston, outside of.
Absolutely. I'm in the Woodlands, Texas, which is just north of Houston, about 25 miles.
Okay. Yes. North. Mm-hmm. So before we even get going, because you got me distracted already, because that's what I do. Cleveland. How far from Cleveland, Texas is that?
I'm pretty far from Cleveland. It's on the other side of Houston. So
Up
towards Conroe, Lake Conroe. You might be familiar with Lake Conroe. It's a very popular fishing area around there. Huntsville, Texas.
Okay.
So we're up that way.
Mm-hmm. I have some good friends that live in outside of Cleveland. They're the, I don't, you're probably not really in our industry, but the Barnuminium company, Stacy Lynn and Oliver Bell are.
That's my name, Stacy Lynn.
Is it? Well, I got two. Okay, yes. but hers is Stacee. So
she doesn't spell it right.
Exactly. I'm going to tell her. Hold on. Yeah, Stacy, Randy. I just was with them last week. So, but anyways, I digressed as usual. So introduce yourself. I mean, you'll do it better than I will. Who in the heck is Stacy Harris?
Sure.
Stacy Lynn Harris.
Yes. Yeah. No. Well, thank you so much for letting me be here with you today. I really appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to this time together. I have been in this area for 20 years. And when we moved here in 2005, we were transferred here with my husband's job. And I decided right after we moved here to jump into the entrepreneurial world and started an event planning and image consulting business. I did PR events for businesses, for nonprofits. So I did fundraisers and fashion shows and customer appreciation events and things like that. Hmm. I built that business completely through networking, because when we moved to this area, neither my husband nor myself knew one single person. I had never lived anywhere that I didn't know anybody starting at zero. So
where'd you come from? Where'd you come from to Houston?
We moved here directly from East Texas, but we were only there about a year. I grew up in West Texas in the Abilene area. My husband actually grew up south of here in Port Arthur, which is right on the Texas-Louisiana border.
So you've already done one thing in life that I haven't done.
What's that? What's
grown up.
Grown up. Okay. Yeah.
I have no plans now.
I know. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stay where you are.
It's overrated, I think.
Yeah.
And plus, I read on Facebook once that once you turn 60, you don't have to, if you haven't grown up, you don't have to. And Facebook is always correct.
So. That is true. It is. Yes. So, irrefutable, like, Facebook.
Absolutely. So.
So I grew that business just through networking. I didn't have a lot of money, but I had time. And so I started reaching out in the community, joined the Chamber of Commerce, just a couple of different networking groups, and just fell in love with networking. And the first networking, like formal networking meeting that I ever went to, it just really changed my life because I was in a room full of people like me. They were entrepreneurs. A lot of them were much further ahead than I was. Some of them were a little bit ahead. Some of them were struggling where I was to keep my head above water and figure out things. But the camaraderie that I found there and the value of just being in a room with people who were like-minded and were working towards big things also. It was just so encouraging to me. And I just realized as time went on, the value of knowing people and them knowing you and what could happen when it becomes a collaborative event and you have other people who are rooting you on. And whenever you need something, you know exactly who to call, the value of all of that. So that led me into eventually in 2016, buying into a company with networking group franchises. So I have 5 franchises with that. And this is my 9th year with that company. And I believe in networking so much that I started a consulting company. And with it, I teach. So my franchises are all in-person networking groups that I do here in this area. And then my consulting business that I have started about 2 years ago now, I work mostly with sales teams. I do a lot of financial advising companies, law firms, and I teach their people how to network in a way that will build great relationships, but also ensuring that their time spent networking turns into profits for them. Because, you know, we can network and we can talk a lot, but it might never turn into anything. It's like in sales, if you don't ask for the close, it doesn't happen. So, you know, in networking, if you're not purposeful with it and know what you want to get out of it and how to finesse that, you can spend a lot of time spinning your wheels and nothing happening. So that's it in a nutshell.
So there's more to networking than just hanging out in a room and chit-chatting with everybody.
There is, yeah.
So don't give away anything you can sell, but what's the rules of the game here of proper networking?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people don't realize is that if you don't go into networking with a strategy and with a purpose and goal in mind, you're not going to get out of it what you want to get out of it. You will run against the accidental unicorn that just happens to need your product or service at the meeting that you go to. But most of the time, you know, you have to be very strategic with your networking and have a goal in mind. And so I think that's the most important thing. And that's what I share with my clients. I've come up with a 6-part framework of the 6 parts of what I believe are integral for networking to work for everyone and to be successful. It is a skill that can be learned and that, you know, any introvert or extrovert can be great at networking. But the number one thing I tell people is the mindset that they go into with networking is the most important part, in my opinion, because so many people walk into a networking event with the thought in mind of who can I sell to? Who can I convince to be my client? You know, we go in with this hunting mentality and I'm going to hunt it, kill it and take it home.
Right.
And I compare that to, you know, going on a first date with somebody and being proposed to. If that happened, most of us, we would run away real, real fast if that happened.
Right.
And so it's very unrealistic to go into that expectation to a networking event to expect somebody you just met to sign on with you as a client or to buy your product or your service. So you've got to go into the mindset of who can I help instead of who can help me what can I get out of this? You've got to go into it with this mindset of, I'm going to go in this room, I'm going to help as many people as I can, bring as much value, find out about people, share with them what knowledge I have so that it will be to their advantage. And if you can go into it that mindset, it takes a lot of pressure off of you, because then you no longer feel like you're having to perform or impress. You're just there to ask great questions and to find out what kind of value you can create for the other person. Will totally change the way you network.
And, you know, we see that a lot. So you're talking in-person networking events. Don't we see that a lot? Also, it drives me nuts, and it's a deal breaker on LinkedIn, right? Where you literally just sent me a request, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and connect with you. And like 13 and a half megaseconds later, you're banging me out about
the sales pitch.
You got the sales pitch. I don't even know who you are yet. I don't want a sales pitch. And I really, the asking the questions is so valuable, because the other thing, going back to, and I'm a big LinkedIn guy, lovely. That's my go-to platform, even though I use all of them, but is, so I'm a rep agency, right? A rep product in the roofing world.
Right.
I'm not a roofer. And if you paid any attention for like more than about 4.5 seconds, you'd understand what I do. So when you start saying, hey, would you like another 450 leads a month for your roofing company? I want you to go away.
Right.
Because you didn't bother to even find out who I am.
What you do.
Before you start pitching me on something that, now, if you wanted to say, hey, I see that you're a rep in the rep world, and maybe we could collaborate and help each other, different story, right? But when you, and that's the same thing. We, as salespeople, we're too quick to get to the transaction.
Yes.
And we build nothing on the way to the, we build no relationship, right, to the, on the way. And then all it is a transaction if we get it, right?
Right.
And
yes.
Funny thing about transactions is they don't last that long usually. It's only one
they
time.
They don't. Ever. They don't. And that's what I tell people. You know, when you take the time to build a strong network and you know how to build great relationships with people, you build in a client loyalty that is so valuable and so strong because they like you. They care about you. They know about, you know, I mean, being in this area for 20 years, I've never lived anywhere as long as I have lived here. So I've experienced a lot of new things. And I have walked through this journey of entrepreneurship for 20 years now with about 10 people that we've all stuck together through the highs and lows of life, you know, illness, death of a parent, death of a spouse, death of a child, through COVID, through, you know, the economic downturn in 2008. And then, you know, who knows what happened after COVID. So, you know, we've all been through these peaks and valleys together, and we have stayed together, continued to stay in touch with each other, encourage each other, send business to one another. And that's something you cannot put a price tag on.
Oh, exactly.
You really can't. And so it's when you take the time to build a relationship, networking is not the fastest way to grow a business, but I think it is the most solid.
Exactly. Right. Solid was the word I was going to use. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's again, looking for the long-term, right?
Yeah.
Looking for the repeat business. And you get repeat business from customer friends. You get transactions. I've always felt like we all love it, and if you get it, but if I walk into a new customer and I instantly get 10 minutes in, all of a sudden they're giving me an order, there's a slight chance, place and time could happen, I guess. But most of the time, it's either I'm too cheap, or they've already ran their credit with everybody else, and they need somebody else that'll maybe sell them, right? Because they're probably a risk, you know. Because and I've had that more than you'd think. It's like, okay, I haven't even shown you my product, and you're already could I give you an order? I'm not so sure about this, right? As much as you'd like that, it's like, we're going to go a little slow on this. Could we back up a step or two, which is an odd thing for a sales guy, right? But it's funny thing is, my manufacturers I represent, they also like to get paid, right? So let's make sure this is the right deal. And there's a setup time and a startup time and all the stuff that we have to do to get you onboarded as a customer. Let's make sure this is going to be at least a reasonably long-term, or a potential for a long term, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just an order. So big difference between an order and a customer friend, right?
There is, absolutely. Yeah. And to me, it's just so much easier to take the time to build that relationship and keep that client long term than to just be churning all the time, trying to get a new client, So
if one of the areas of sales that you enjoy is that constant obtaining new clients.
Yeah.
I like to get new clients. That maybe is not my favorite part.
Right.
I like to massage the business and massage the relationships. Mm-hmm. And that includes getting new customers and building the relationship. But if you're looking for new customers every single day, boy, that gets long after a while.
It's exhausting. And it causes a lot of burnout. Yeah. Because it's hard enough because for most salespeople, you know, you have a great month and then you celebrate at the end of the month and then the first of the month, you're starting all over again, you know, to meet that goal. Right. And if you're churning that whole time and the sales aren't starting to come to you and you don't have those referral relationships built up and stuff like that, it is exhausting.
It is. I'm not doing crossword puzzles. I'm making notes because I don't do crossword puzzles. I hate them. They bore me. That's why I don't fish either, because that bores me. I'd be bored before I got the worm on the hook. Me too. So are we done yet? Well, we just got here. Now I'm kind of done. Do we even need to put the boat in the water? Not really. We just sit in the boat and pop a beer quick and then go. That would work for me probably as well as anything.
And you're in Florida.
I'm in
Florida. What do you do in Florida if you don't fish?
Walk a lot. Enjoy the sunshine. Travel quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't golf. I don't fish.
Yeah.
I don't do any of the typical Southern climate stuff, but I love endless summer. That's been my goal my whole life, is to live endless summer. I think that anything below 75 is cold.
It's cold,
I don't like it. It should never be below 75 at 4 in the morning.
Our climate is very much alike.
I would say with Houston. Yeah, very, very close.
Yeah.
So talk to me about, there's two things you do in the networking groups. Mm-hmm. I can envision what that is, but you're running an actual group of a select group of people, and then you probably invite outsiders in. Tell me how this group works, because you facilitate those, and somebody can pay Stacy money to join this group and for you to facilitate that. Is that how that works?
It is.
Like-minded or no? Or is there different industries?
Yeah, so I have pretty high standards for my members. So all of my members are required to pass a criminal background check. We ask them to do a business profile, so that I can look into their past business history and just making sure that they really do what they say they do and that it's a legitimate business, that there aren't any things in the past that we should be worried about or anything like that. Also, all of my members are, they're all either business owners or decision makers in their company, or they're 100% commission sales. So I look for people who are responsible for making their own paychecks, because I find that those people are way more motivated to be invested in groups like this. They're experienced networkers, and they all have a minimum of 3 years experience in their industry. So we are mostly B2B for the most part. I do have some B2C. If they are B2C, then they are, for the most part, they are more established businesses. They have a larger profit margin every year, you know, that kind of thing. So those are the quality people that I'm looking for. So, you know, so I say some networking groups, they're looking for the kindergartners who are just starting getting networking. I'm looking for the college people. Got so it. That have the experience under their belt. And our meetings are very different. We, with each meeting, we do a relationship building activity that usually is about 45 minutes of our 90 minutes together. And what we do in that is I break people into partners or smaller groups, and I give them a topic to discuss. We might do some kind of a brainstorming session. We might share, everybody at the table shared a challenge that they're working on, and the other people, it's almost like a mastermind group. The other people will give them feedback, ideas, you know, that kind of thing. I bring in guest speakers from time to time, business coaches to come in and talk about different aspects of business, time management, goal setting, sales. I just had a business coach a couple of months ago, and she did a whole workshop on how do you get a great testimonial from someone? And then how do you put that out on social media where it's not totally bragging on you, but it's making your customer the hero, of the story, you know, those kinds of things. So those are the things that we do. We share if people are hiring and, you know, just different things like that, and just use each other as resources to help each other's businesses grow and move along. And so my groups meet once a month, and then every Friday I host a networking coffee, and I invite everybody from all my groups to come to that. And I open that up to the community as well. It's been really important to me to, because my groups are a higher price tag, but I want other people in our community to be able to be a part of some of our events. So I started doing this during COVID. And of course, we were in Texas, so we weren't under a lot of crazy restrictions. So
right.
I said, if you want to get together, not wear a mask, and come and network, show up. So it started then, and I have, so it's 5 years this month that I've been doing that. And I usually have about 60 or 70 people a week that come for that. Nice. And so just different opportunities. I host a personal development class at the end of each month, where usually I bring in a guest speaker to come in. Because I just believe, you know, for us to become better business owners, we got to be better people first. Mm-hmm. We have to work on ourselves. So I have that aspect of it as well. But the whole point of it is just to be able to really have an intimate setting where people can get to know each other and really understand each other's businesses, who your referral partners are, what kind of introductions we can make for you so that we can send you business. At the same time, be a resource for you as well, so that you can serve your clients well and be sure that when you refer someone to a client, to a family member, that they're going to be taken care of.
That's awesome. And you've been doing that for 5 years now, you said. Or yeah, 5 groups. 9 years, 5 groups. There we go. So do you attend every, so it's one a month. You attend them all yourself personally.
I facilitate all the meetings myself. Nice. Mm-hmm. I do.
Very cool.
Yes. Very cool. And the Friday coffees and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. Yes. If I ever fly into Houston again, maybe I'll see if I can become a guest.
I would love that. It is an open invitation. Invite.
I love it. Yes. I love it.
You and Wes, come on down.
That'd be great. I think it'd be great. I just don't get into Houston ever, but that might be worthwhile just to do it.
It would be
worthwhile. Yes. So you got the networking group. And then what's the other side of your consulting part? How does that differ? I mean, that's probably an ongoing everyday thing, right?
Yeah. So with the consulting, I started to get this idea over the years, I've just observed that some people are so good at networking and other people can do it for a long time, but they never get the results out of it that they want to get out of it. And I just started observing very early on in my networking experience, the habits that I saw that people who were successful in it, that they had, the way that they interacted with people. I just observed a lot. I experimented a lot myself with the relationships as I was building them. And I realized that so many people, and I'm sure you see this a lot being in the sales world, you know, you might have a VP of sales or a sales coach or a sales manager or an owner that will say to the sales team, you need to go network. You need to go talk to the people, you know, call our past clients, talk to, you know, this business and that's parallel to ours, but they don't ever tell them how to network.
Right.
They just tell them go network, but they don't tell them how to do it. It's like throwing a kid in the pool and saying swim when they don't know how to swim. Right. And so I just realized there was this big gap between there, and I wanted to fill that gap and felt like that I had a formula that works, and I've seen it work time and time and time again. So a couple of years ago, decided to launch this company and see what the reaction of people was. And it's been very encouraging. I've worked with so many different industries, logistical, trucking, law offices, oil and gas, insurance, financial advisors, real estate, and, you know, real estate related companies. And the results are all this pretty much the same as far as it builds people's confidence in how to network and in themselves, because I teach them how to walk into a room full of people that they don't know and not be paralyzed by that, how to start up a conversation, how to connect quickly with people, how to endear yourself to people, not in a fake way, but in a very authentic way. And, So I teach them how to follow up, how to get people to have a one-on-one with them, and how to make sure that one-on-one goes the way that you want it to go how to take control of the conversation, not in a way that is obnoxious, but then in a way that is beneficial to both sides, and really helping them figure out who are their referral partners. You know, so many people, they go after the client that they're looking for, and that's great. But, you know, one client, how often is one client going to use you? You know, if you're a realtor, for example, how many times is one client going to buy a house from you? Right. But if you have a great referral partnership with a commercial realtor who doesn't do any residential real estate, but people call this commercial realtor all the time thinking that they sell houses. Right. And the commercial realtor says, I don't sell houses, but I know somebody great who does. Let me send you to this person. Then all of a sudden you have a referral partnership, and you can do the same for the commercial realtor. You know, the residential can send commercial deals. So when you can fill your pipeline with your referral partners and you have identified who those people are, it fills your pipeline so that people are out talking about you all the time for you. And that's what so many people don't realize. They're just trying to hit one client at a time. And that's when you get that burnout at the end of the, end of the month, you know, but when the phone is ringing because people are talking about you and they're calling you, that's when it gets to be fun.
Exactly. Well, and you're really creating it creates a real force multiplier effect, because now, like you said, you can only see so many people in a given time period or whatever that is, day, month, week, year. But when you have other people not working for you, but willing to refer for to you, because you do the same thing for them. And speaking of referrals, so I love that relationship of the commercial realtor and the residential realtor. But what about, I think one of the toughest things that a lot of salespeople have, and probably one of the most valuable things you can do once you've developed the relationship and you've proven yourself, you're doing some business, is for some reason, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to ask for a referral to other businesses. Like if you're a customer of mine, one of the best things I feel I can do is, if you like what I'm doing for you, who's some of your people that you know around the country, right, that you could refer? Could you make a phone call for me? Could you know, whatever. Why are we so afraid to do that? And is there an art form to that a little bit? I assume that probably along the same lines as in the networking meeting, right?
Yeah. I think so. I think the reason we're afraid of it is everybody is just afraid of no. Afraid that they're going to say, no, I don't know anyone. No, I don't, you know. So I think we build in our minds they're going to say no before we've ever even asked. But I think it's also about how you frame the question. So if I say to you, Randy, I have loved working with you and your sales team. It has been such a privilege to watch you all grow and see your sales increase. And it just brings me so much joy to be able to help you. Do you have any friends that are in a similar industry or a similar business as yours that maybe I would be able to help in the same way? And if I would love to be able to help them the way that I have helped you.
Yes.
Then you're offering assistance. You're not asking so much for, will you make this introduction so I can make some more money? It's it's brought me joy to help you. And that's my, that is my mission, is to serve and help as many people as I can with the talent that I have been given and the pool of expertise that I have. So if you, do you know anybody else that I could help? So, you know, that's, I think if you can kind of frame it that way, then it changes the question and it's an easier question to ask.
Well, I think it is, because just listening to you, it makes sense, because now that person that you've been helping is in a position to maybe help one of their friends, as opposed to help you sell one of their friends, right? Because, you know, one of the biggest things, right, in the world of sales, I feel like this might be a Zig Ziglarism, but if not, we'll give him credit anyway. Ben Gay, they'll be proud of me. But is people, nobody wants to be sold, but everybody loves to buy, right?
Yes.
And and so if we can, and I love that, that's always been a way that I try to go about what I do, is I don't try to sell anybody anything. I'm just going to help you buy if you need it and if it makes sense. And I think that's what you're doing there with the referral, is I'm not trying to get you to pawn me off on one of your friends so that I can make money. I just want to try to help one of your friends, right?
Yeah, it is. And when you get that introduction, when you get that introduction to somebody else from a client that has been happy with your product or service, then they're 90% sold by the time you even get in front of them. You know, I just had this happen recently with a company I was working with, and they had their, she was not a part of the sales team, but she was part, she was their office manager. She just oversaw everyone. And so the owner told her, I want you to sit in on these meetings with Stacy and these sessions that we're doing. So we had done, I think, two sessions, and she called me and she said, I have a referral for you. And I go, really? And she said, yeah, I was at this networking breakfast this morning and I met this lady and she's head of an engineering firm and they're looking for some leadership development and some different things that they can do to help their sales team along. And I told her about you and she wants to have a meeting with you. And I went, that'd be great. You know,
we could do that.
So, yeah. You know, the meeting that I had with this lady, it was like, we felt like we already knew each other. There was good feelings on both sides. It was very easy and relaxed. And it's just so much easier to do that than to be pounding the pavement, constantly cold calling. And, you know, I know there is a place for cold calling, but statistics show out of 100 cold calls, the most response you're even going to get is only 1-3%. And when you go with a referral, it's 75% of the time that you'll get a meeting.
Oh, yeah, that's and making 100 calls and getting 97 to 99 no's. I don't care how seasoned
that is, so crushing. Yeah,
yes, that's a little bit okay. Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we meet by referral from Christine? Wasn't that who entered us?
Yes,
Christine Harrington, the savvy sales lady.
Yes.
But see, again, there, networking, we didn't even know we was doing it, right? You've known Christine for years. I've known Christine for years. But, you know, you talk to enough people and you associate with enough circles, you just find more and more people that are beneficial to have in your life. Let's put it that way.
Yes. And that's I was referred to Christine by one of my Network Connection members. So
is that right? Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Christine's been on the podcast once or twice. Actually, Wes and I, producer, buddy, pal, director, food stealer, Wes that you met. He is a food stealer. So if we come to Houston, he gets so mad. I keep saying this, but don't offer him the last quesadilla because he'll take it.
He'll take it. Okay. Well, I love to feed people. I love to cook and feed people.
Perfect.
All over for dinner.
But I'm okay with that with food. All I don't do is if there's just that much of Dr. Pepper left, which is my code word for red wine.
Have you tried the Dr. Pepper Zero?
No, I don't really drink Dr. Pepper. Oh. Stacy, that's a code word for Cabernet.
No way.
Yeah, that's my code word. See, it's on the screen.
Dr. Pepper.
I just say I'm going to have a Dr. Pepper. There's a long story behind that.
Gotcha.
But I don't offer the last of my Dr. Pepper, my Cabernet. My Cabernet, no. If there's a little left and I want some, I'm pouring it for me. I don't care who you are. I don't even care if you're a big client, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
There's lines I live with. You know.
You got to have boundaries, Randy. You got to
have boundaries. And I live by boundaries. Not many boundaries, but that's one. That might be the only one I have now that I think about it. But I do live by that one. But no, we met, but Wes and I met Christine in Indianapolis one time. I was going through there on a sales trip and Wes was going over there for something. And I love, you talk about networking. That's one of the things I really love with doing a lot of virtual stuff. I love meeting people that I only met virtually, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's on my show, or if I'm guesting on somebody's show or just through LinkedIn or TikTok, whatever. I just love, I'll go out of my way a reasonable amount to try to meet somebody.
Yeah,
you know, that I've never met in person. And
yeah,
you know, it was fun last week. I was at a trade show, and again, it's kind of along the world. Trade show is networking, right, all week long.
Oh yeah.
And I spent so much time not only with people that I've known in the industry life, but people that I've met doing some of these podcasts and some of this other stuff that I've done for the last 4 years. It's just great to meet people in person that, you know, you've developed a relationship with. And that's one of the beauties. And I wanted to kind of steer it this way. That was a segue, not the kind you ride, because I'd fall off. But is networking online, when you, and if you, and I think, aren't we doing that on a regular basis when we do this kind of stuff, when we're putting out videos, when we're putting out posts, we're continually networking with people we may not even know yet.
Right.
But when we do get that introduction, like you said, they're not a cold call anymore. They're a warm call at minimum, because they already know who we are. They know our personality a little bit. They know a little bit about what we do. They know that I like Dr. Pepper, right? How important is that, in your opinion, to the world of networking?
You know, I think it is it's a tool that it's just another tool that we can use to continually build our network. I think it does take a little bit more time to build the relationship. But I think it definitely still can be built. I just met the other day, just a few weeks ago, somebody that I had only met virtually for about a year, and we were able to finally meet in person a few weeks ago. And, and at first when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the first time we've actually met in person, you know, cause I did feel like I knew him already and there was that relationship that was there. So it is something that we just have to be intentional about. Because I do think it takes a little bit more time, because when you're in person, you more feel the energy of that person and those kinds of things. But, it's amazing, this tool that we have. I mean, that was one of the blessings of COVID, right?
Yes.
That we realized how much we could do virtually and how efficient we could use our time and our money, you know, and doing things virtually instead of flying all over the place and stuff like that. So I think we have to, I didn't ever think I would network virtually as much as I do these days, but I definitely have gone more that way. I teach one of my classes that I teach on, I do it online. I've had people from Europe that sit in on the class, you know, so that's amazing to be able to do that. It is amazing to do it. And you do feel like you've made a friend, and it's great to be able to see each other face to face and do those things. It's, but you know, we have to be intentional about networking no matter what, whether it's in person or online, we have to make the time to do it. I always tell people, if you don't put networking in your calendar and schedule it, like you do your kids' doctor's appointments and, you know, different things like that, if you just say you're going to do it when you have time, it's going to be like going to the gym when you have time. It ain't never going to happen. So, you know, it is, you have to be very intentional about it. But I think there is a lot of value to the virtual networking and to the LinkedIn connections and nurturing those and that kind of thing. But the key is just being authentic and genuine and vulnerable with people and figuring out how you can help each other. I have never had anyone turn me down when I have said, I would love to get together with you and find out how I might be able to help you grow your business.
Yeah, how could you say no to that, right?
I have never had anyone say no to me. You know, no one has ever said, I've got enough business, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, back to what we talked about, like with the virtual versus in person. I think in person always is better.
Yeah.
But the virtual allows us a force multiplier effect again, right?
It does, for sure.
If I can get to know, you know, we've talked twice today, and I think we had a Zoom meeting or Teams or whatever we did a couple 3 weeks ago, but I can tell you, if I came to Houston tomorrow and we met at a coffee shop, the second I walked in the door, I'd know who you were.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. That takes that whole first meeting, trying to figure out who in the world is even Stacy, who is this person, right?
Yeah.
And so it does speed that process along.
It does, yes.
And
I remember going to coffee shops and going, are you Randy?
So I was in Knoxville last week for a trade show, and a guy that's been on our show, Paul Boyles, he's a business coach in the Knoxville area, and he was on. We talked a couple times virtually, going to meet up because it's his hometown. And I was a little late because of time zones. I screwed up. So, see, I forgive you for the last time we messed up the time zone between you and I.
I stood you up. Yes.
I wasn't going to say that, but okay.
I know.
But I stood him up because I messed up between, I flew into Central, but drove into Eastern.
And just
about the time he's going, are you almost here? No, not really. I'm 45 minutes away. And that just about that time I drove over the line where it switched.
Yes.
I go, oh, now I know what happened.
It's a bad feeling. Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, he waited for me. But when I walked in the hotel, the second I walked in the door, I spotted him, he spotted me and stood up because we already knew each other.
Yes.
Never met before in person. You know, and that's the thing about it, that it from a simplicity, from a time, from moving things at a little faster pace.
Yeah.
But I've always said to anybody who'll listen, it's not an either or. It's not virtual or it's personal. It's a combination. Sometimes it's more one, sometimes more the other. Sometimes it's split. It's just whatever it is at point in time, right? Moment in time. So
But, it is. But there is a big advantage to the virtual networking for sure.
Exactly.
I would not have said that in 2020, in January of 2020, if you had asked me that.
Yes. So. Oh, I know. I grew up in the world. Okay, I haven't grown up yet. We established that. But I came up in the world of sales with the old, you know, pizza pie lunches and, you know, burgers and brewskis in the evening and coffee and donuts in the morning, one customer at a time, one handshake at a time, one bro hug at a time. That's where I got my juice and still do. Mm-hmm. Love being on the road, seeing customer friends, meeting new customer friends. Sure. But it's such a force multiplier to be able to to do this other stuff that's available to us. You're just silly not to use it. That's all in today's world. So.
Yeah.
Well, Stacy, you've been incredibly kind with your time as we kind of wind down, because I want to be cognizant of your time. There's a should ask question that Wes just reminded me. What do you wish that we'd have talked about today that we didn't, or when you're out and about talking to people a little bit about what Stacy Harris does that you wish people would ask that just never do?
What I wish they would ask me is what I find is people don't actually, a lot of times they don't know how to introduce themselves. Just when somebody asks, Randy, what do you do? People will stutter and stop and use industry jargon that is very confusing. And so the question I wish they would ask me is, Stacy, what is the best and most simple way that I can introduce myself to people? So that they understand who I am and what I do and how I can help them. And so what I always tell my clients is, you know, you got to start out with the problem that you solve for people. That's what you need. You need to tell people what is the problem that you solve for them. That is what people are looking for. Then they want to buy from you, if you can tell them that. So I wish that people would, most people are asking me, you know, how can I get more clients? How can I do this? How can I do that? You know, this is about networking is about increasing your reach and your revenue. Mm-hmm. And if people don't know who you are and what you do, it doesn't matter how good your product and service is, you're not going to sell anything. You're not going to get a client. So we've got to be able to be clear in our message of who we are and what we do, the problem that we solve, and how we can serve our clients the best. So I wish more people would ask me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're going to. Okay. Wes is already typing you a note, I think.
I'm ready.
Typing you a note right now. Well, and you know, and that really starts then with a lot of people don't understand the ever popular three letter word. Well, there's two. Ask is an important one, right? But the three letter word, why? If you don't know why you're doing what you do, you're not going to be able to do what you just said, which is to explain to Stacy why I might be able to help you in what I do.
Yeah.
And a lot of salespeople don't really know why they do what they do. Well, it's because I make money.
Right. Yes.
Well, that's good for you as a salesman, but I don't care as a customer whether you make money or not. It's really not my particular priority, right? So I think that why, and then being able to explain why does Stacy need to know Randy, right?
Oops. Yes. Yes. Very, very valuable. So it's amazing what happens when people understand each other. Really good.
Exactly. Well, Stacy, this has been awesome. I appreciate you being on and taking some time today. It's been a pleasure. I knew it'd be a great chat after you and I chatted a couple of weeks ago. So we'll have to reach out to Christine and tell her that we talked. I'm gonna text her right now.
No, I will do that. I will for sure do that. She's so sweet. Yes.
Yes, she's a good lady.
So thank you, Christine, when you watch for making this intro. I appreciate it.
Well, exactly.
Randy, if I can ever help you with anything, let me know.
I will do that, and you the same. I appreciate it. If I get anywhere near Houston, we'll look each other up. If you get into Southern Florida, holler out.
Yes. I will. I will for awesome. Sure. Thank you so much. I right. really appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Thank you so much. All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. There you go, folks. Stacy Harris with Stacy Harris Consulting, a networking guru. And I'll tell you, I thought that was pretty amazing chat. So hope you like that. Reach out to her if you can use some networking help, because I can tell you after today's show and in conversation I had with an hour with her a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, the lady knows her stuff. So anyways, I am loving what I do, doing what I love. That's what Wes and I do every single day. Remember, we only go around once, so live it, love it, own it. And while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow. Cheers, all.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.